Once again, good evening. Welcome to our service here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of Exodus this evening. Exodus. Spend a few moments in the Word of God and then we'll look forward to our time around our Lord's table. Exodus, please. Chapter 25. We'll begin there. I'd like to reignite our little series on the tabernacle that we began at the end of last year. Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. The Bible reads, "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity once again to sing your praises. And we bow before you at this time in heart and in spirit, asking that you would now guide us and lead us into truth. And Heavenly Father, reveal to us the blessed Lord Jesus in all of his glory, in your word this evening, and meet our needs, we do pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we do ask. Amen. Here in Exodus chapter 25, we have God's mandate to Moses to lead the people of God in building a portable fixture, tent, sanctuary, known as a tabernacle, for the purpose that God might dwell with the people of God as they were traveling from Egypt on their way to the promised land. God wanted his people to be mindful of his presence. And God wanted his people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, for those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. When a person repents of their sin and invites the Lord Jesus to be Savior, that person is indwelt, is born again by the Spirit of God. And with the Spirit of God indwelling that individual, they have the potential to worship God in spirit and in truth, the truth of the Word of God. But before the New Testament economy, God saw fit to dwell within this tabernacle and be present and reveal his presence amongst his people via the tabernacle. But as I've said, for you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we are now the tabernacle of God. God indwells us, and I trust that we would honor him, acknowledge him, and worship him as he is worthy thereof. And note then verse number 8 that God said, that I may dwell among you. God wants us to have an intimate personal relationship with him as the Creator, as the eternal God. And as we study the tabernacle, we have noted and we will continue to note how we can have a vibrant and real relationship with our God, our Savior, our Lord. And we noted that within this tabernacle there were three main sections. There was a curtaining that surrounded the exterior. And as you enter that one main gate, it was a broad gate. And I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus is willing to save to the uttermost and from the guttermost. And that one way is the Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation. And that gate is very broad, but there is only one, conveying the fact that Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me." And so there is this broad gate from the east that leads into the tabernacle courtyard. And within that tabernacle courtyard, the first piece of furnishing that you find is a brazen altar. This monstrous altar there that was used for the sacrifices. All of the sacrifices took place upon this brazen altar. And that phrase, an altar, pictures for you and I the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ gave of himself fully for our sin, that we might enter into a relationship with God. It's because of that brazen altar that Jesus Christ gave his all. So as we studied the brazen altar, we noted that very fact, that it pictures our salvation provided by Jesus Christ, who gave his all. His body was broken, his blood was shed completely, fully, for your sin, for my sin. And when he cried out, "It is finished," from that old rugged cross, he was conveying the fact that sin has been paid for once and for all. And all of those offerings throughout the Old Testament economy, and all of those offerings that took place on this brazen altar, were to convey the fact that one day a Savior will come, Jesus Christ, who will give his all that we might have forgiveness of sin. So that's the brazen altar. Then you move beyond the brazen altar within the tabernacle. We found the laver. The laver was a place of cleansing where the priests would wash their hands and their feet that they might serve God in purity. The Bible teaches us, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And if we're to serve God effectively, we need to be vessels of honor fit for the Master's use. So beyond salvation, there is a need for sanctification. There is a need for cleansing if we are to effectively worship and serve God. That's the outer court within the tabernacle. Then we move into the place known as the holy place. Within the holy place, there are three basic instruments, pieces of furniture. There's a table of showbread, which had 12 pieces of loaves on it. And this bread was replaced every Sabbath. And this bread was used to feed the priests as they served. The priests weren't allowed to sit down. There was no place to sit within the tabernacle court. Nowhere to sit. You served standing. And these priests would gather around this table and they would eat. They'd be sustained. They'd be filled physically that they might serve God spiritually. And that table of showbread pictures the fact that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. He has come to sustain us. And may God help us to feed off his word daily, that we might be sustained and equipped and strengthened for effective service. Then also within that holy place was a golden candlestick. 7 arms that reflect the fact that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. It was the only form of light within the tabernacle. It was to be lit continually. The priest had to make sure that those 7 strands were lit continually. Olive oil, pure olive oil, was used as fuel to light that candle. The only source of light for the whole tabernacle. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And Jesus Christ has come to save mankind from darkness. And my friend, Jesus Christ is your light. Jesus Christ is my light. And if we will believe on him and receive him as Savior, we will have the light of the world living and abiding within us. And thereby we can go out into the highways and byways and be the light of the world. The Bible teaches us that we're to shine brightly for God's glory. But also within that holy place, last but not least, we come to a piece of furnishing known as the altar of incense. I'd like to invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 30, please. And here in Exodus chapter 30, verses 1 to 10, the Bible gives us a summary of this altar of incense. Now, this altar of incense was directly in front and in the middle of the table of showbread and the golden candlestick. Note then verses 1 and 2, please, of Exodus chapter 30. "And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. And 4 square shall it be, and 2 cubits shall be the height thereof, and the horns thereof shall be of the same." So this altar of incense, what can we learn from this altar of incense? What can we learn about the Lord Jesus Christ from this altar of incense? Well, as I mentioned, it is right there at the very forefront in that holy place, just before the veil that leads into the holies of holies, which is to hold the very presence of Almighty God with His people. So there's this altar of incense, its position there right in front of the veil. On the one side is the golden candlestick. On the other side is the table of showbread. And that altar of incense is in line with the laver out there in the courtyard. It's in line with a brazen altar out there in the courtyard. And this is the closest bit of furnishing to the very presence of Almighty God. And it's known as an altar, a place of worship to burn incense. It has a particular purpose. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 5, please, for a moment. Exodus chapter 40, verse 5. The Bible reads, "And thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle." So my point is this, that this altar of incense is positioned right before the curtaining that separated the holy place from the holies of holies, where the high priest could only enter once a year to sprinkle blood upon that altar, only once a year, and this altar of incense was just before the curtaining that led into the holies of holies. So God is very specific in His detail for a reason, beloved, because God wants us to be mindful of the very fact that every detail points to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God said to His people, when you build this tabernacle, you will do it as I have told you. And God gave His people the measurements and told them the exact materials to use. And God told them exactly where to position these pieces of furnishings, all for a purpose, ultimately to reflect the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Well, let's go back to Exodus chapter 30. Let's note some details concerning this altar of incense. And we will note the spiritual application in relation to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's note first and foremost the materials that were used in the building of this altar of incense. In verse number 1, the Bible teaches us that it was made out of wood. And in verse number 3, it tells us this wood was overlaid with pure gold. Exodus chapter 30, verse number 3, "And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof. Thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about." So the Bible teaches us that this altar of incense was made out of wood that was overlaid with gold, illustrating for us the very fact that just like the table of showbread was likewise was wood overlaid with gold, reflecting for us the fact that God became flesh and dwelt among us, wood being that which is earthly, gold reflecting that which is eternal. Jesus Christ became flesh. Jesus Christ took the form of man in order that He might die for your sins, that He might die for my sins. God took human form and yet was and continues to be eternal God. God became flesh to reach man, because man cannot reach God in his own strength. And God said to His people, when you build this piece of instrument, you'll make it out of wood, but you'll overlay this wood with gold, reflecting the God-man. Eternal God became eternal man and remained eternal God for your sin, for my sin. Then in verse number 2, the Bible gives us the measurements. It was to be basically 1 cubit, or each cubit is approximately 50 centimeters. half a meter. It was to be one cubit square. And note, the Bible also teaches us in verse 2, it was to be 2 cubits high. In other words, it was 1 meter high. This was the tallest piece of instrument within the holy place, technically, because we don't know the exact sizing of the golden candlestick. We're told the weight of gold that was used to mold the golden candlestick, but we're not told the actual size of the golden candlestick. So technically speaking, the altar of incense is the tallest piece of furnishing within the holy place. And it stood, it rested right there before the veil. But on the other side was the holies of holies, the very presence of Almighty God. My friend, God is ordered in all that He wills, in all that He designs. I'm so thankful for Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, where the Bible teaches us that all things work together for good. God is ordered. God is in control. And when God ordered these pieces of furnishings within this tabernacle, it was just a gentle reminder for you and I that, hey, God is God, and He is Lord, and He will achieve His will. He will achieve His purpose. And let everything be done decently and in order. And this altar of incense was placed just before the veil, just before the holies of holies. And as we note the design of this particular altar of incense, in verse number 3 we noted that there was a crown of gold that surrounded the top of the altar of incense. So this altar of incense rested about a meter high, and it had a crown of gold that surrounded this altar of incense. No doubt to hold the hot coals that were placed upon this altar of incense. Beloved, it's very important that you and I bear in mind that upon this altar of incense there were no sacrifices made. There were no sacrifices made. It was an altar of incense. It was not the brazen altar where the animal sacrifices were slaughtered and sacrificed to God. This was an altar of where incense was offered up unto God. And also note there that the Bible teaches us in verse number 3 that on each corner there was a horn. It had one horn on each corner of the altar. And the Bible teaches us on the Day of Atonement, verse number 10, please. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it, upon it in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. So this altar of incense had a horn in each corner. It was surrounded by a gold crown, and once a year on the Day of Atonement, the priest would take blood that came from the sin offering, and he would apply that blood on each horn upon that altar. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that provides cleansing from sin. And just before the holies of holies, just before that high priest could go into the holies of holies and sprinkle blood upon that mercy seat, the blood was applied upon the four corners of that altar of incense. And we'll note the reason why shortly. Well, concerning its design, we continue on, and we note then verses 4 and 5, please, of Exodus chapter 30. And 2 golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the 2 corners thereof. And upon the 2 sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. Verse 5, and thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, overlay them with gold. Golden rings were made, 2 on each side, and poles were made, once again wood overlaid with gold to transport the altar of incense. And these poles were placed through these golden rings to the sides of the altar, and thereby that altar of incense could be transported from place to place. Because God's people were on a journey, see? They were on a journey from Egypt to the promised land. And may I submit to you, my friend, that we are also on a journey. We're pilgrims only passing through. Beloved, this is not my home. I'm on my way to an eternal home with streets of gold where I'll enjoy the presence of Almighty God. And I wish the people of God would just be mindful of that from time to time, that this is not our permanent home. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And just like these people were transporting from place to place these pieces of furnishings reflecting the very presence of God, you and I are pilgrims. We're passing through, but we pass through this life with the known presence of Almighty God. For those of us that know Him as personal Savior and personal Lord. I trust you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this evening. Oh, He's a dear friend. He's a friend of sinners. For Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. God loves sinners. God is He's unconditional in His love towards us. The God of Islam is conditional. His love is conditional. Allah's conditional. Did you know that? The God of Islam is a conditional God. He'll only love you if you love Him. Oh, what a contrast to the God of the Bible. But God commendeth His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the God of the Bible is a God that loves unconditionally. And for we that know Him as personal Savior, we are pilgrims. We're just passing through. And I trust that we are mindful of that, and we are seeking to lay up treasure in heaven where moth nor rust will corrupt. Let's move back to Exodus chapter 30. We've noted the materials, we've noted the measurements, we've noted the basic design of this altar of incense. Note carefully there in verse number 6 its purpose. Now we get to the crunch. What's the purpose of this altar of incense? That rested just before the veil that led into the holies of holies. Note then verse 6 with me. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony. Note this next little phrase. Where I will meet with thee. Where I will meet with thee. See, this altar of incense is a point of communion. A place of communion with God. This is the altar of incense. And note then verse 7 and 8 concerning that very fact where God said, I will meet with thee. Look at verse 7 and 8, please. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. God said that I will meet with thee. Where? At the altar of incense. And the Bible teaches us here in verses 7 and 8 that this incense, that incense was to burn continually upon this altar. As oil was to burn continually on each of those candlesticks. So just as Aaron and his sons would go in and make sure that that lampstand was continually lit, it was checked every morning, it was checked every evening, so likewise at the same time, this incense was to be offered to God continually. Just like there was to be continual light, 24 hours, 7 days a week. Light that was to shine off the golden candlestick. So likewise, this incense was to come before God's presence 24/7. It was to burn continually. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 27, the Bible reads, "And he burnt sweet incense thereof, as the Lord commanded Moses." God commanded it to be so. God commanded that this altar of incense would be active 24/7, just like the golden candlestick was to shine and give off light 24/7. Now the question goes begging. What did God specifically mean in a spiritual sense by that very fact, by this altar of incense? Note there in verse number 9, please, of Exodus chapter 30, "Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burn sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon." So God said to his people, you will not offer any other perfume other than what I have specifically ordained for you to offer upon this altar. And the formula is given there in chapter 30, please, verses 34 to 38. God gives us 4 main spices, sweet spices, were to make up the perfume that was offered on the altar of incense. And God said to his people, you will only offer, 36, only weighed, mixed together, and that is the only perfume that is to be offered upon the altar of incense. Why? No other perfume. Now you might be wondering, where did the hot coals come from? Well, the hot coals came from the brazen altar. If we had time, we'd go to Leviticus chapter 16, 12. And the Bible teaches us the priest would take the hot coals off the brazen altar, and those hot coals would be placed in, or upon, I should say, the altar of incense. And then it was upon those coals, those hot coals, that this perfume would be poured upon, giving off a sweet incense. Thereby you have the altar of incense. And once this perfume was poured on the hot coals, it gave off a sweet incense, conveying in some form communion between God and man. Because please, my friend, bear in mind the end of verse number 6, where the Bible reads, I will meet with thee. So there's something very special about this altar of incense to do with communion, where God said, I will meet with you, a point of communion between God and man. My friend, may I submit to you that there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus? And it's possible for you and I to have communion with God. And God said to the priest, as you go in and as you offer incense upon this altar, it'll only be a specific form of perfume upon this altar. You will commune with me. What is this incense? Well, my friend, very clearly within the scriptures, incense speaks of prayer. In the scriptures. Note with me, please, in Psalm 141. Are you still with me? This is wonderful stuff. It's the Word of God. Psalm 141, please. Note then verse 2. Psalm 141, verse 2. It reads, let my prayer be sent forth before thee. Note, as incense. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1, please. Luke chapter 1 in the New Testament, verses 9 and 10. As Zacharias ministered before the Lord, he was ministering here at the altar of incense. Note there in verse 9, 10 and 11. Luke chapter 1, verse 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. What an honor, what a privilege for Zacharias, the father, or the father-to-be of John the Baptist, the greatest man that walked upon planet earth outside of the Lord Jesus himself. And note then, verse 10 it reads, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So people understood this altar of incense was the principle of prayer. So as Zacharias was before the Lord there at the altar of incense, offering that sweet perfume prescribed there in the Old Testament scriptures, and no doubt Zacharias was praying, people were outside the temple and they knew this was taking place, and they were praying likewise. And note then verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. See, God said to his people, I will meet with thee. And the altar of incense is that place of communion. It is that place of prayer where God's people offer their prayers to Almighty God. See, the priest was to go in and they were to offer the perfume upon the altar of incense. And as the incense would give off a sweet perfume, it reflected the prayers of the priesthood on the behalf of God's people coming before the presence of Almighty God. When God said that I will meet with you, he was referring to prayer. In Revelation chapter 8 verse 4 it reads, listen carefully, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. My friend, the Lord Jesus is not only the light of the world. The Lord Jesus is not only the bread of life. But may I submit to you, the Lord Jesus intercedes for us as our great high priest. Just like Aaron communed with God, interceded on the behalf of God's people at the altar of incense. This pictures for us the work of the Lord Jesus who intercedes on our behalf. Note there in Hebrews chapter 9, please. Hebrews chapter 9. In verse 24. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. The holy place is referring to the tabernacle. The holy place within the tabernacle, the Old Testament tabernacle. Which was the figures, which was a picture of the true. But into heaven itself, it's referring to the ascension of Christ following his resurrection. Note, the end of verse 24, now to appear in the presence of God. For, let's say it together, us. Amen. The Lord Jesus, the great high priest, following his death, burial and resurrection, ascended up to heaven, is seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you, interceding for me. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 34, just in case you're not convinced. stubbornness is a human problem, not a God problem. So just in case you're feeling a little bit stubborn with our main point here this evening, note then verse 34, Romans 8. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Glory be to God. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Jesus Christ, who intercedes on your behalf. He intercedes on my behalf. He is our great high priest. And when Aaron went in and he offered that perfume upon that altar of incense, and as that sweet perfume came before the veil which separated the holies of holies and the holy place, it was to reflect the fact that you and I, as the people of God, that are part of the priesthood, that are a royal priesthood, we are called upon to intercede on the behalf of others. A call to prayer is the charge within the altar of incense. And it's positioned right in the very middle of the holy place. A prominent position. And my friend, may I submit to you the most effective and the hardest discipline of the Christian life is the prayer life. And if you want to meet with God, and if you want to know God, we want to know the reality of God's presence in our lives, we need to get into that closet and offer up that sweet incense and pray and pray and pray. And it's been made possible. You and I can offer that sweet incense of prayer. Our Lord Jesus intercedes on our behalf at the right hand of God the Father. And we're called upon to intercede on the behalf of others. And it's been made possible because of the blood of the Lamb. Go back to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19. Are you still with me? I'm almost done. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Note, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by what? The blood of Jesus. So what was applied on the four horns upon that altar of incense? Blood. And we can enter into the very presence of Almighty God with confidence because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We know we have direct access into the very presence of Almighty God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. What an honor. What a privilege. My friend, the need is great for you and I to intercede on the behalf of others. As the Lord Jesus intercedes for you, as the Lord Jesus intercedes for me. It was Samuel who said in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, he said, God forbid lest I sin in not praying for you. See, Samuel understood it was a sin to intercede on the behalf of others. God has called us to pray, beloved. It's far easier to just read your Bible. Talk to me. In fact, I think it's easier to try to witness to somebody. But when you and I get serious about praying, therein is hard work. The discipline of prayer. The altar of incense. Where God said, I will meet with thee. Incense was to rise off this altar continually. And so likewise, we are called upon to pray before God continually. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Bible teaches us that we are to pray without ceasing. The burning of incense was sacred to God. This burning of incense back there in Exodus chapter 30, verse 10, the Bible teaches us it's a holy institution. It's not to be violated. And as you read through the pages of the Old Testament this year, you'll note people defiling the altar of incense. Like all of these strange wives that Solomon married. The Bible teaches us they burn incense unto other gods. There is violation after violation at the altar of incense. It's amazing that the pages of the Old Testament. And God said very specifically, this is a sacred place where you offer this perfume, this particular perfume alone before God continually. My friend, Jesus Christ is not only the bread of life. Jesus Christ is not only the light of the world. Jesus Christ also is seated at the right hand of God the Father, praying. Are you listening to me? Praying for you. Amen. Praying for you. For those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, we are a royal priesthood. We're called upon to pray for others, to do likewise. That's why the Lord Jesus said to his own disciples, "Could you not watch and pray for 1 hour?" When was the last time you prayed for an hour? Truth be known, most of us have never prayed for a solid hour. You wouldn't know what that means. What a sad commentary. When we consider that the eternal Son of God intercedes for you and I continually, that incense comes before God the Father continually, 24/7, on your behalf, on my behalf. That's the altar of incense. That's why it rested just before the veil, just before the holy of holies, where God said, "I will meet with you. I will commune with you." May God help us to be a people of prayer. May God help us to intercede on the behalf of others. We're called upon to pray without ceasing. Do you take prayer seriously? I trust you do. Well, if you do, make it a part of your life, please. Let me encourage you to make it a part of your life. Prayer changes things. Prayer is the most powerful spiritual weapon that we have. And if you really believe that, then you'll pray daily. And you'll see the importance of a prayer meeting. A Wednesday night prayer meeting. Where we pray for you. Prayer, the altar of incense. May God help us to intercede on the behalf of others. It's been made possible because of the blood. The body was broken, the blood was shed, that we might have access into the very presence of God the Father and pray with confidence, one for another. And as we spend these few moments around our Lord's table, I'd like you to consider the fact the body was broken, the blood was shed, and thereby that gives us access into the very presence of Almighty God, and thereby we can offer our incense, our prayers on the behalf of others. And God promises to commune with us. God promises to hear our prayers. Let's bow for prayer. I'd like for the musicians to come and the ushers to come, and we'll prepare for a time around our Lord's table. And as they do so, let me encourage you to just spend a moment in prayer.